we're going to pray and open our service tonight. Take your fingers, wiggle your fingers. Take your fingers, wiggle your fingers. Take your elbows, pat them together. There you go. Pat your ears. Smooth down your hair. Rub your hands. All right, clap them together. Drop them in your lap. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight in Incredible World. Thank you for all the work that's been done. Thank you for all the kids who have come out, for the scripture that's been memorized. Lord, for the money that's been given towards Bibles in Papua New Guinea. We're so excited to be a part of that project. But most of all, for the truth that's been learned from your word, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight and everything that's said and done, that you would be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stay standing.
All right, we are going to start with Incrediworld, and then we are going to sing Simple as That. Ready?
Just go.
Each hand painted rose, our
have a seat.
All right, so by the count that I have, we have two visitors here tonight. Would you raise your hands if you're here and a visitor, the green team, the blue team? Let's welcome them to Incrediworld. Glad you could be here on the fifth night. Now, I have good news and bad news for you. First of all, the bad news. This is the last night of the week of VBS. Everybody say, aw, aw. But I have good news for you. Everybody say, yay.
Yay.
And the good news is that every Wednesday in June, we're going to continue VBS. Everybody say, yay! That's pretty good. Thank you. You're getting there. So, next Wednesday and the Wednesday after that and the Wednesday after that, we're going to have VBS. We're not going to have it in here. We're going to have it back in there in the fellowship also. Tonight after this, we're going to take it down. But don't cry. It's okay. We're just moving it into our new quarters to continue Incrediworld 2021. So, visitors, we're glad you're here. We're going to find out tonight who's going to win, but we'll get to that later. Let's look at our verse again for tonight. We're going to say it a couple times. Job 40, and we pull out just verse 15 and verse 17, some phrases there. Let's say it. Job 40, 15 and 17. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He moveth his tail like a cedar. Job 40, 15 and 17. Let's have just the blue team say it. Ready? Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He moveth his tail like a cedar. Job 40, 15 and 17. All right, green team, here you go. Job 40, 15 and 17. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He moveth his tail like a cedar. Job 40, 15 through 17. And we learn from this that God made the dinosaurs and that they lived with man. So we're going to say dinosaurs lived with man. That's the theme of fifth night. Ready? Dinosaurs lived with man. Say it, blue team. Dinosaurs lived with man. Say it, green team. Dinosaurs lived with man. Let's recap to night four. Our theme from night four was, it didn't just happen, God made them. Ready? It didn't just happen, God made them. Blue team, it didn't just happen, God made them. Green team, it didn't just happen, God made them. And then night three was, admit, believe, forever receive. Together? Admit, believe, forever receive. Then night two, the Bible, ready? The Bible says it, that settles it. Night one, God made everything. Those themes might be worth some points later. So, hope you paid good attention. But right now, Mr. Ben is going to come, and he's going to give us our lesson tonight.
Hey, boys and girls, I love Vacation Bible School. I love talking about the Bible, but even more than that, I love talking about the God of the Bible. He is truly an amazing creator. And tonight, it's the last night for me. But we get to talk about dinosaurs. How many of you like dinosaurs? I like dinosaurs. You can pretend to like dinosaurs for a night. All right. I love dinosaurs, but what does the Bible say about dinosaurs? You know, the Bible says things about dinosaurs. Now, it doesn't use the term dinosaur. It uses the term dragon, because the word dinosaur didn't come out into the world until 1841. A scientist coined the phrase dinosaur. It means terrible lizard, to start describing what they were starting to discover and find, these large, unidentified lizards. But the Bible does talk about dragons, and that's what we're going to come across several times. We'll also come across a couple specific dinosaurs that are named in the Bible. Behemoth is one, and we're going to learn about Leviathan, the other. But generally speaking, what does the Bible say about dinosaurs? Who can tell me, what does the Bible say about when they were made? Yes. With men. What day? Day six. And, like, that was like, you know, day six was like millions of years long, right? No. No, they were made within the 6 days of creation. They were created with man. Because the Bible tells us in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the Bible tells us in Exodus that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the seas, and all that in them is. And he rested on the seventh day. And so that's what the Bible says. Later on we find out that after the flood, dinosaurs that were taken on the ark, different kinds, not every dinosaur that we know about, but different kinds of dinosaurs were on the ark, and they spread out over the earth just like mankind spread out over the earth. Well, this is what the Bible says. The Bible also tells us about two very specific dinosaurs, and they're found in the book called Job. Now, what's interesting about the book of Job is that it's one of the earliest books of the Bible written, and we believe it was written sometime between after the flood and before Abraham. Why this is significant is because it would be the closest to after the ark that we have a biblical record. And in the Bible, God is speaking to Job, and in context, he's challenging Job with the idea of, Job, you really think you could manage the world? You really think you could do it better than me? Well, why don't you go and humble every person that's proud? Actually, Job, I'm going to give you even a simpler test. Go out and govern Behemoth and Leviathan, and then we can talk about you governing the world. When he talks about Behemoth, the Bible says, Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox, although now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. Little later on, he says, His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief, the biggest, the most impressive of the ways of God. God made this creature so big that when you looked at it, you had no doubt in your mind that this was the biggest. Some people say, well, you know, this might be a hippopotamus or et cetera. But he says, when he says, Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee, with mankind, he moved his tail like a cedar. Obviously, when you look at a tree and you look at different animals, we don't have too many animals that have a tail that reminds us of a tree. We have some that have long tails. We have some that have short tails. We have some that have thick tails. But we don't have any animal out there today that would match that description, except when we look at the bones of dinosaurs and look at their weight and size and how big they would have been. It's like, well, that matches a dinosaur. It's interesting, too, when he describes Leviathan. Oh, man, this is exciting. Its description is intimidating. It's a powerful creature. It's a strong creature. It's a dangerous creature. God, in talking to Job about Leviathan, says, Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. Now, some of you might have cavities, and the dentist might look at your teeth and be like, Ah! That's terrible! But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about teeth that are frightening, terrifying. Have you ever seen pictures of, or gone to the zoo and seen, like, how many of you have been to the Tennessee Aquarium? I got to go again just the other day. In-laws were visiting, and I was able to take my father-in-law and my brother-in-law to the Tennessee Aquarium. We got to see the sharks, and it, like, swims by, and, you know, its teeth are there. Okay, I would not like to be swimming and a shark show up. That would be terrifying, you know, like, teeth. Death. Okay. But there's other creatures, right? Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my, they have terrifying teeth. And that's what he's describing here with Leviathan. But then he goes on and he goes, His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. And then he describes something even more interesting. So he's describing some kind of reptile creature. And he says, Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. Later on, the Bible says that he maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh the path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be white-headed. Upon earth, there is not his like who is made without fear. He doesn't fear anything. You know, there's some animals that they've discovered that in their habitat are so the dominant predator that they live completely without fear in their environment. And that's what God is describing this creature to be. He is so intimidating. He is so in charge of his environment that he has no fear of anyone else. Can you imagine swimming or paddling out? And all of a sudden, it's like, what was that? I hope it was a whale. And then it comes up again and it's all teeth. And yet God's point is that he has made them, and Leviathan comes to him for food. That behemoth is what God has made. And although behemoth goes down and bends to the water and he drinks, and he's not concerned that any predator is going to take him down either, God made him. God provides for him. God keeps him and protects him and strengthens him. God is the one that has given him his strength. What's also interesting about the biblical record is that it is disprovable. What I mean by that is we look at the biblical record and we can come to certain conclusions. The biblical record, if it is true, states that man and dinosaurs were around together. Furthermore, the biblical record states that if they were together, then man would have a record of these creatures. They would be eyewitnesses of these creatures, and we would expect to find stories and evidences all around the world, not just in certain locations, of these creatures. Like there's myths and tales that are just localized to Ireland, or just localized to West Africa, or just localized to the Native Americans. But if the biblical record is true, then we would expect stories and pictures and descriptions of dinosaur-like creatures all over the world. So let's take a look. There's different kinds of dinosaurs. Absolutely. There's all sorts of guys. I mean, I think there's two different kinds here. There's Brontosaurus. And there's T-Rex. So there's different kinds. Here's interesting. In 600 BC, Nebuchadnezzar built his Babylonian gate. This was discovered by archaeologists, and on its covering, there was very easily identifiable creatures like lions and bulls. But then there was this creature. If you look closely, you'll notice this creature has scales. Lots of little scales. It's a thin build. It doesn't match any cat-like creature or dog-like creature. But what is interesting is that it matches a creature that's been found, fossilized in that area, called a iguanodon. Can y'all say that? Hold on. Let me make sure I can say it. Iguanodon. An iguanodon. All right. She's got it. Remember that, Mac. All right. An iguanodon. This is interesting because it matches what we've later discovered to be accurate in their size and description. Also, anyone know where Babylon was? Babylon was located where? In Asia. More specific. Asia is a really big continent. Yes. Middle East. Over in China, there has been verified that pieces made in the BC, early 100 to 300 BC, dinosaur-like creatures and dinosaur stories and legends. But these figurines match dinosaurs that we've discovered in the fossil record. The Greeks, 550 BC. It's interesting. So, I mean, it's a little hard to see, but in this circle, there's this head of a creature. There's a magazine called Science News. It is not a Christian magazine. But they stated in their magazine that the head was very dinosaur-like. And their conclusion, because of their worldview, was that, well, this proves that ancient man would dig up fossils. But we have no historical evidence of that at all. Instead, what we have is a biblical record that says man and dinosaurs lived together. Where's Greece? Anyone know where Greece is? Other than him? Yes. In Europe. What part of Europe? Southern. Yeah, good job. Southern, right near Turkey and the Mediterranean Sea there. What else do we find? Well, this is from Egypt, 3100 B.C. Do you see these long-necked creatures? Let's see, will this work? If my finger will get out of the way. See these long-necked creatures right here and here? Well, do you notice right down here? What is this? Can anyone tell me what that is? A goat. Very clearly a goat, right? It's not a made-up creature. It might be hard to see from where you're sitting, but can you see what that is? Dog, right? Doggish. So we see clearly identifiable creatures. We have down here on this one, there's a bull right here, very easily identifiable, a bunch of little people around. And doesn't this remind you of dinosaurs? Long necks, stocky frame, matches everything we've discovered in science. Why? And from a biblical record, we would expect to find this. We'd expect to find evidences of man seeing dinosaurs, being with dinosaurs. West African art. So Egypt is in East Africa. We go to West African art. They would trade figurines, metal figurines, or use them as weights. A lot of times they would use them as weights for measuring out salt. And they would normally be things that were very common that they would see. Animals they would see. Gazelles or etc. Lions, tigers. Or not tigers. But they've also would bring dinosaur looking figurines. Well, how would they know what they look like? What's also interesting about this top figurine over here is that it is proportionately accurate of the size of the dinosaur to the size of the man. They could not have guessed. They would have known. They would have had to know to make that figurine. In Europe, how many of you have ancestors that came from Europe? Some of you are like, I think so. I don't know. My ancestors came from Europe. Here's what's fascinating about Europe. So you have these two dinosaur-looking creatures. This is in a bell tower of a chapel that was made in 1300 A.D. In the country of Georgia. We have some missionaries sent out from our church to the country of Georgia. Not you know, the state that needs missionaries, just south of us. Not that one. But the actual country over in East Europe, just south of Russia. In the bell tower, here we have dinosaur-looking creatures carved into the window frame. And based off their erosion, it looks very similar to the rest of the stones all around. So we know that they were carved into it at the time that this building was built. You have the story of St. George and the dragon. Here's what's fascinating. All the story kind of moved throughout Europe. And as it moved, people would paint or draw or build a tapestry or a carving of that event. But this... And they would base their dragon off of what they had seen and heard of reptile creatures. Well, this creature right here matches what has been discovered in Europe. A creature called a Nothosaurus has been found in fossilized form in the continent of Europe. Which, again, would not surprise us, because if the biblical record is true, we would expect to see evidences of man with dinosaurs. This creature right here was in a lot of French, to the far right on the screen, was when in a lot of French nobility would use this creature. They called it a salamander. What's interesting is that if you look at it, it actually matches a dinosaur that we've discovered on the continent of Europe called a Baryonyx. Its size, its general description matches what we've discovered. And again, why would we be surprised in biblical creationists to find consistently all over this world examples of mankind being with dinosaurs? In Peru, it's a little small, and I apologize. I got off on my sending my file. But in Peru, where's Peru? Anyone know where Peru is? Yes. Absolutely. South America. In Peru, they found in two different tribes very similar art of a dinosaur-looking creature. This is from the... Let me make sure I get my... The Moche Indians would do these type of pottery, and they would paint creatures. Lots of the creatures are very easily identifiable that they found. And there's these dinosaur-looking creatures. What's interesting is another tribe's burrow claws had very similar-looking creatures. So a regional dinosaur that shows up in the art of two different tribes in the same area. Which, if the biblical record is true, then we would expect to see mankind with dinosaurs. This is my favorite. In Mexico. Where's Mexico? Someone who has an answer question. Under Texas. Yes. North America. So in 1945, these small clay figurines were discovered. However, the archaeological community began to doubt their validity because there were several dinosaur-like figurines. And so it began to be called a fraud. But here's the problem with it being called a fraud. The dinosaur figurines match what could or did not match what was generally known about dinosaurs at the time. So, for example, we have this guy right here, Brachiosaurus. 10 years later, a scientist looked at that figurine and said, it's amazing that such an accurate figurine was made because this is only known in the science community and it's only discovered in East Africa and North America. This small dinosaur right here, it's a type of sauropod. Again, guess what dinosaur it is? It is the iguanodon. Remember the iguanodon from Babylon? Okay, here's what's fascinating about the iguanodon. Sauropods, when they were originally discovered, were thought to be huge and fat. Later, as late as 2009, scientists began to discover that sauropods, they had adjusted it from the 1800s into the 1900s. They knew that they were a little bit smaller than originally thought. By 2009, they realized that they were much more athletic and thinner than originally thought. In 1945, they had no idea that this was a much more accurate representation of an iguanodon. The only way that this could have been discovered in 1945 is if the person that had made that had seen a dinosaur. And these are dated to be between 800 BC and 200 AD. But if the biblical record is true, then we would expect to find evidence of man seeing dinosaurs. Behemoth and Leviathan, they lived at the time of man. But why does it matter? Why would I take a whole session of Bible time going around the world looking at pictures of dinosaurs on walls and tapestries and little clay toys? For a few reasons, three main reasons. One, it gives support to the biblical record that God created everything. That when the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, it means it. It gives evidence and support to when Jesus said, thy word is truth. And that means that we can trust it not just to tell us about dinosaurs, but we can trust it about where we will spend eternity. We can trust it when it tells us that we are sinners and we are separated from God by our sin. However, Jesus, we are reconciled to God by the death of His Son. And that Christ rose from the dead to authenticate His claim, to prove that He was willing to give us eternal life. We can trust Him for our salvation. We can praise Him. We can praise the God of the dinosaurs. In Psalm 148, the Bible writes, the psalmist wrote an incredible hymn of praise. And in it he writes, "Praise ye Him, sun and moon." Remember, we talked on Wednesday night how the sun was perfectly designed to support life on earth. And it praises God. It shows God is a God of intelligent design. "Praise Him, all ye stars of light." We learned on the first night of stars that were so big that they could swallow up almost our whole solar system. Galaxies that were so big that you could fit two of our galaxies inside that galaxy. "Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons." We learned about that's the term that was a biblical term for dinosaurs. He is the God of the dinosaur. "And all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl," like the hummingbird flaps his wings so fast, 50 to 80 times per second, "whose tongue is designed to be two times longer than its beak and acts as a pump to get food into it. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven." It's important because God is a God who can be trusted, His word can be trusted, and we can praise Him because He is the creator of all things, and He is even the God of the dinosaurs.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Benton. Don't go too far. We're going to need you in a moment. He's going to help us with our cheer competition. So you can go on down, but just stay in the area. We're going to get him and Mr. Kyle in just a moment. So if you have questions based on what you studied this week, if you'd like to talk to somebody, talk to myself, talk to Mr. Benton, talk to Pastor, talk to Mr. Kyle, any one of our teachers here. If you have questions, especially about what we talked about on night three, about how you can believe on Jesus and you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven, we'd love to have you have those doubts settled. We have these little booklets, God's Bridge. We're going to make sure everybody who hasn't had a chance to get one of these yet gets one of those. If you want to take one as you go out tonight, we'd love for you to read that and for you to know for sure that this God, this wonderful God, is your Savior. Well, we have some questions that we need to ask, and then we're going to find out who has the best cheer. Who do you think is going to have the best cheer tonight? Now, these teams have been deadlocked all week, so it remains to be seen what's going to happen. But that'll be in just a moment. Let's start with some questions from Mr. Ben's lesson tonight. I have some questions that he gave me. Here is a question. We're going to start tonight with the green team, and then we'll end with the blue team. So don't let me forget that. Start with the green team. Green team, how do we know? What are some reasons how we know that dinosaurs must have been made with man outside of the fact that the Bible tells us that? So that's one. Riley, what do you got? That's right, but we're looking for reasons other than just the fact that the Bible says. That's a good first one. Let's look for a reason, not just the fact that the Bible said so. Eddie, what do you got? Okay, in ancient cities, there's lots of places where they were discovered. All right, very good. Now, that's 200 points for the green team. All right, let's come over to the blue team. On the blue team, we have, what were dinosaurs called before? What did they used to call dinosaurs? Let's see, right here next to David. Do you know? Dragons! 200 points for the blue team. Very good. All right. Name both of the dinosaurs named in the Bible. Titus Coleman. That's 200 points for the green team. All right. Blue team, name two places mentioned by Mr. Ben where they have found evidence that exists for dinosaurs and man. Let's go with Mr. Bartlett. Yes, sir. Can you name two places? Say it again. Babylon and Peru. Very good. Give 200 points to the blue team. For 200 additional points, can you give two more? Not Babylon, not Peru. Riley, we'll give you another try. Egypt and Greece, give 200 points to the green team. All right, very good, very good. All right. Now, here's a question. What, blue team, what is significant about what they have found in Mexico? What is significant about what they found in Mexico? Does anybody know? Esther? What did it show? It was found in the 40s, but it showed what? Can we let a teammate see? Go ahead. All right, so in 1940, it was found. We didn't know that much from excavation about dinosaurs. That is correct. Give 200 points to the blue team. Very good, very good. All right. We're going to go to some other questions. We're going to go to some other things for points. Green team, I need someone who can tell me the first night's verse. Green team, first night's verse. The first night's verse. Eddie, do you know what it is? Speak up. Say it. Can you say the verse? All right, 200 points for the green team. Let's see if there's someone on blue who knows the second night's verse. This is a hard one. We'll give you the third night's verse. We won't do Exodus 20 and verse 11. Let's go to the third night's verse. It is something a little shorter. No, wait, did I say that right? Night one was Exodus. Night two was a short one. Do you all know the night two one? Miles, you think you know? John 17, 17, thy word is true. 200 points. All right, let's go back over to the green team for night three. This one was not quite as short. Does anybody know night three? All right, we'll give you night four. Do you know night four? Titus, give it a try. All right, was that reading? All right, somebody said it was being written. No. All right, very good. Give him a hand. Good job. 200 points for the green team. I need to have those blocked whenever we're saying. All right, well, we'll come back to the green team. Can you tell me? No, sorry, the blue team. The other green team. All right. Tell me the theme of the first night, blue team. What was the theme of the first night? Eli, do you know? All right, 200 points for the blue team. All right. There's probably going to be something a little later. That's going to be pretty exciting. But at this point, I need my helpers up here. If I could have Mr. Kyle come on up here and Mr. Ben come on up here, they're going to help me judge because I don't want to be accused of partiality. These cheer points are very important because if you'll remember, green team is 900 points behind blue. Green team needs to win the cheer and win the offering to have a chance. So no pressure here, but let's go ahead. These guys are going to help me. We're going to confer. They're going to be my judges, some expert judges drafted from the region that they're going to help us. Blue team, why don't you go ahead and give us a start? Give us your cheer, and we will see what our judges think. Judges, you are observing that. Let's see what the green team has. Looks like you got a visitor here tonight, green team. He might get 50 points just for being able to lift that guy. That's pretty impressive. Some drum roll while the judges confirm here. Let's see. All right, the judges have conferred, and they have decided that we want to hear one more cheer from each side so we can decide. Now, here's the thing. Participation is important. Volume is good, but participation is important. So, we're going to have a runoff between blue and green. Let's not do any new cheers. Let's bust out your best cheer, your best representation, okay? Not trashing other people. This is going to be a positive cheer. All right, here we go. Give it your one best shot since green went last. Green go first this time, and then blue will go second. So we're watching. We're going to see if we can break the deadlock here. All right, here you go. You got to decide this time. That time. All right, Blue, let's see what you got. Let's see your best cheer. judges have conferred, and the decision is unanimous. The 300 points go to the green team! Alright, that means the green team is still in it. There remains to be seen what's going to happen with offering. Remains to be seen what's going to happen. Alright, at this point, I think there's a certain doctor who's going to come. So just hang on to your hats. You never know what might happen.
For 3 years in a row, now everybody get out there and enjoy Incrediworld.
I think it is a white powdery substrate of some sort. I've been trying to make a dinosaur all day. I can assure you it's impossible. I've tried everything. Nothing seems to work. Well, kids, tonight we're going to talk about something very interesting. We're going to talk about biology. Does anyone know what biology is? Anyone know what biology is? Right there. Biology is the study of life. I think most of you are alive. Raise your hand if you're not alive. Go ahead, raise your hand if you're not alive. We have lots of not alive people tonight. Well, that's what we need to change. But where did life come from in the first place? Where did life come from in the first place? Well, we have a good answer, don't we? We say what? What is our answer? What is our answer? God, yes, God is our answer, of course. Well, God teaches that he made, in his image, each man and woman. And where did we come from? Well, we came from Adam and Eve, of course. He made Adam and Eve, and then they had lots of children, and now you're here. Now, evolutionists would say otherwise, right? Have you heard what we've been talking about with evolution? See, they teach that all life came from one ancient grandfather cell. I mean, this is what I'm going to call it tonight, okay? Think grandfather, that's what you think. This cell made other cells, and through natural processes like natural selection and random mutations, here sits a child. Now, I would like to ask a question. Where did the grandfather cell come from? Who made that? To this, they give some pretty strange replies, these evolutionists, my friends. They say, well, millions of years ago, methane, ammonia, and possibly oxygen, we're not sure about that one, came together and somehow, and was possibly hit by lightning in order to potentially, most certainly, create the first cell. Bah! Humbug. This is utterly impossible. Another scientist said, well, we're starting to think that it took place on the backs of crystals. The backs of crystals. Crystals? He sounds like a mad scientist to me. And I know mad scientists. The best idea was the soup idea, and so I will discuss this. My handy dandy clicker. This is the Miller-Urey experiment. You will likely come across this in your science textbooks. It was a research experiment done in 1953 by Miller and Urey. And what they did was they tested this soup hypothesis. They took methane, ammonia, and hydrogen and put it in the tube, and they hit it with lightning. Everybody say Frankenstein. Give me your best Frankenstein. Frankenstein! It's alive! And they made the lightning hit the methane, the ammonia, and the hydrogen, and they wanted to see if they could make the grandfather cell. Now, here's what they say. They say, in the textbook, it says that they developed organic molecules. Organic molecules like grandfather. No. Like tar. Like toxic black tar. Now, I actually find this rather funny. Would you see the experiment in your textbook, and they say that scientists can create organic molecules using a laboratory, and that in the primordial soup of the Earth's oceans, life, when struck by lightning, could possibly exist. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. Or a bunch of tar. Another reason. Back. 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 Alas. Well, I had a beautiful picture of DNA. Another reason that life could not exist just spontaneously in the ocean with lightning is, there's my picture of DNA, isn't it beautiful? Is because you have DNA. Everybody, look at your fingerprint again. I had you do this earlier in the week. Do you see your fingerprint? Look, did you know that you are unique? You have so much information, just millions of lines of code in your cells, and it's encoded. Look, that couldn't have happened from a lightning strike, no matter how much methane gas you have. Now, unfortunately, I've not been able to create a dinosaur. I've only made something that looks kind of like tar. Goodbye.
Let me give you a quick update. Let me give you an update of where we stand. We got some missions moolah coming in. Looks like that $1 million bill is going to come in handy here. Now, green needs this, y'all, because starting last night, how many points was green down to blue? How many points were you behind? 900 points. Now, the cheer contest was worth 300 points. You made up 300 points there. How many points is the offering worth? 500. So green needs this. Who do you think is going to win the offering? All right, let's get a drum roll and let's see who's going to win the offering tonight. It's going to be, it could be, it might be the Green Team! All right. For the first time, the Green Team. Thank you, Blue. That's very kind of y'all to give them a chance to win. So, that means there's something that's still going to be decided. But before we find out the final score, we got to find out what's going to happen. Is that Mildred going to continue to mess up Incrediworld? Are they going to continue to have problems? Do you think they're going to win the Best Park Award for the fourth year running? We're going to have to wait and see. I don't know. Maybe they show up tonight. We might get a chance to find out what happens at Incrediworld. Oh, it looks like they're showing up. So I'm gonna let them have their turn now.
My name is Mr. Pete Peterson, Park Director here for Incrediworld. And on behalf of all the staff, we would like to extend a warm welcome to each one of you. Now, how about these guys right here? Let's give it up for the Extreme Team! We just want to take a special moment and thank them for their many years of service. They really have done a great job. And recently I was reminded by one of our Incredikid winners just what an amazing show that they have. Now, with that being said, we hope you've enjoyed the show. And we hope that you've enjoyed your day here at Incrediworld. Voted the world's best park 3 years, that's right, 3 years in a row. Now, everybody get out there and enjoy Incrediworld! All right. Hey, another amazing show, guys. Hey, and I have to say, I'm relieved you didn't take that offer from Adventure TV. I mean, that was kind of a big deal.
I have to admit, at first we kind of got sucked in, but then once we took a step back and just looked at it, we decided we didn't want to be there.
We enjoy this place too much.
Yeah, and I mean, I would really hate to see you leave. I mean, you guys do such a great job.
Well, what do you think our chances are of winning the world's best park again?
Slim to none, I'm afraid. I mean, there's just been too many things go wrong. In fact, I got word. Our numbers are way down.
I was hoping of keeping the streak alive, but oh well.
It was a really strange week this week, wasn't it?
Yes. And it all started with me being your number one weird and wacky creature. I wonder how that happened.
Hey, don't look at us.
Yeah, you know we like playing tricks, but that one was definitely, definitely not us.
Oh, I know. I'm just kidding. I just really wish we could figure out who was responsible. Oh, look. There comes Mabel. Wow. Well, don't you look like you're having a good time?
Do you say something? Oh, hold on a minute.
I said, it really looks like you're having a good time.
Oh, my, yes, we've been having such a good time. This Miss Ryan here, she is a hoot.
Really?
Yeah.
He's exaggerating, of course.
Hey, let's show them that thingamajig.
You mean our secret handshake?
Secret handshake?
No way.
Watch and be impressed.
It's something. Serious.
You ready, Mabel?
Which way was I supposed to go? This way. Ta-da!
Wow.
Ain't that just a cat's meow?
It really is.
Oh, it's so
good. We practiced while we were waiting in line for all the rides. It was really fun.
It was such a good time. I just need to thank you all for such a grand time I've been having here. You all have made me feel young again.
You're not leaving, are you?
Hey, if I don't leave, I can't come back. Oh, and besides, they're having pot roast and Harvard beets.
Harvard beets?
Yeah. I know. I'd rather have funnel cake, you know. But I just keep hearing my cardiologist voice saying, if it tastes good, spit it out.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mabel, we're really going to miss having you around here.
Oh, thank you, honey. Don't worry. I'll be back. You know how much I love this place.
All right. Gabe, Cody, can you help escort Mabel out?
Of course.
Yeah, pick up my things, will you? Now, be careful with my jacket. I got to put one arm in at a time. Let me get in. Oh. You're just so good at that. Can you practice?
No.
Oh. Well.
That's just what.
Okay, thank you. Ciao, Miss Ryan.
Trilogy, but that's beside the point. My final prank ever is going to be unlocking the animal cages. This will for sure seal Incredoworld's fate of losing the Best Park Award. And just find the where the door is. This is put my son.
Where is it?
Mildred, is that you? No, Grandma. I mean, random lady I've never met before. Mildred, that is you. What are you doing here? You don't work here. You work at that thrill something or other theme park. And what is that in your hand?
Nothing. I don't. Where'd that come from? Blessed.
What's going on here?
Yes, Mildred. What is going on here?
I can explain. I guess there's no escaping it now. So I've been pretending to be an employee here. Then I can
sabotage your park.
But, I mean, it's not fair. You went and stole the best theme park award for 3 years in a row. Couldn't let you do it a fourth time. I was the one who changed all the pictures on the wild, wacky animal show. I also did the bubbles and the ketchup and the salt and the scary music. That one's still my favorite. And I also made you win the Incredikid contest.
Mildred, whatever on earth would you do that?
I couldn't think of anyone above the age of 12 that would want to go. Above the age of 12 or 80, for that matter.
Mildred, you are in big trouble. I'm going to tell your mother what you've been doing here. And I can't believe you've been doing all those things to these nice people.
That solves the mystery. Too bad we just don't have a chance on the Best Park Award.
Is everything okay out here? I heard a lot of yelling.
You would not believe it. There was a... And then there was a... Oh, what a day.
Okay. Well, Mr. Peterson, we just got this from Adventure TV. I think it's the final result for the World's Best Park Award.
Oh, thank you, Miss Ryan. I don't think I can open that. Here we go. We regret to inform you that...
I'm just kidding! We won!
That's yes! Let's go celebrate with a ride on the zebra zip line! Let's go!
All right!
I'll do it. I'll come, but I'll watch from the ground.
All right, very good. Thank you so much to our Incrediworld players. We're so thankful that they caught Mildred, and it looks like all of their problems will be solved. Well, we have a score to settle, and Mr. Zach, you got the score slide to put up there. Let's see what it says. Now, before you get too excited, hang on. I have consulted with Mr. Kyle, Mr. Ben, our leadership team, and they've decided that that is a very, 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 very close score. In fact, it falls within the level of variance, 100 points over 5 nights. So we've decided we're going to have a showdown, a runoff between green and blue to determine the winner, because 100 points over the course of 5 nights is very close within the margin of error. So Mr. Stephen and Mr. Michael, come on up here. Let's hear it for these guys. Come on up here. Come on up here onto the platform. Come on up. All right. Now, I want you to know that whether blue wins, whether green wins, you're all winners. Okay, so give yourselves a hand. Good job. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to test them to see how good attention they paid over these 5 nights. So we're going to go back and forth. He may be walking like this. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to go back and forth between Michael and Steven and see who was paying better attention, the green team or the blue team. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with the first night's theme. Mr. Michael's going to whisper it in my ear. Mr. Steven then is going to whisper it in my ear. They're not going to say it out loud because they would cheat off each other. You know, that wouldn't help. So, night one, we're going to see out of the 5 nights who gets the most themes correct. All right? And the team that gets the most correct will be the winner of the 5 nights of Incredible. This is what we've decided on. Sorry, y'all. Here we go. All right, Mr. Michael, in my ear. All right, Steven.
Mom.
You can say it out loud. All right, 1-1 for green and blue. Here we go.
This is like penalty kicks, y'all. This is coming down to the intense part. All right, here we go. Night two, which is not night one. What was the theme? We'll start with Steven this time. Michael did it. All right, it is 2-2 for green and blue. The Bible says that that settles it. Here we go. We'll come down to night three, which is not night one or night two. We'll start with Michael this time. Don't be looking at my paper. All right.
Michael? Mom?
I don't know. She might know. No. It is admit, believe, forever receive. 3-3. All right, this is getting close. What's it going to be? We'll come to night four. We'll start with Mr. Steve. So far, so good. They're perfect. Let's see. Don't tell them. Don't help them. They've got to know. All right, do you know?
I know this guy. I promise.
Give us a minute.
In the meantime, let me tell you, on Wednesday nights in June, we're going to continue to have VBS. You can come back and see the performances of these great young men. Also, as you go out tonight, there will be a little invitation card you can use to invite people, and there will be God's Bridge. Fourth night, Stephen. Are you lucky there? What do you got?
Nope.
You got any ideas?
I didn't get a hint.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, so go one for the blue and none for green. Let's see. One more remaining. Let's see, this is like the penalty kick. When the first guy misses, the other guy makes. Let's see what's going to happen. Night five. Michael, do you know night five? Yeah. It's tonight. It's what Mr. Ben taught on tonight. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Do you know?
I did.
These guys had no idea they were going to be put on the spot like this. So here we go.
This is embarrassing.
It's what Mr. Ben taught on tonight. All right, blue team got it, green team got it. That means the victory ultimately goes to the blue team. Thank you, team, and a cheer. Very good. Good job. Blue, give your victory cheer. Here we go. Final cheer. Go ahead, green, and blue will join you as you do it. Michael and the green team, that was a pretty close week. I wanted to read you the totals. Now, as of Wednesday, four nights in, I read you the total. We had $1,694 that were donated. Earlier I was saying, I hoped we could get to $3,000. You want to know what the total is of what we got for this week? $3,622. Let's hear it for that. I'm not very good at math, but that comes up to 1,207 Bibles, and that is awesome. You know, we had a lot of fun here. We got some cheering. We learned some facts, but my heart is touched. I hope your heart is touched to think of all those Bibles going and being put into the hands of young people. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to ask God to bless these Bibles, to bless the people who gave, because truly your rewards are in heaven. You know, this is not something that you're going to see probably in this lifetime, but I hope that one day you get to meet a young person that came from Papua New Guinea that says, I got saved because of a Bible. That was, wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be great? All right, so we're gonna pray and thank God. And then we're going to have our song team come up here. They're going to give us our final song, and we'll close out our night of VBS. All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for the great time that's been had. We thank you for the effort that's been put in by everyone. We thank you for your word, that you are true, Lord, that what you say is true, that when you say you created the world, we know that you did. Lord, we see your fingerprints all around us. We thank you for those who have given so much this week. Lord, the sacrifice of many, I'm sure. For these young people getting excited to see these Bibles, Lord, we're excited, and we ask that you would use your word in a powerful way. We pray that eternity would be different because of what has been done here this week. Lord, work in the hearts of young people. Lord, help us to look to you as the creator who made all things that we answer to. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, would you stand?
All right, one more time for this week. We're going to sing Incrediworld.
We're so glad you came. We're so glad you participated. The bad news is that's it for the VBS week. But the good news is what? There's VBS what? Every Wednesday in June. All right. So once we're done in here, my workers, we're going to need some help. If y'all stick around, help us move Incrediworld into the fellowship hall, that'd be awesome. But at this time, we're going to let the green team go first. We're going to let them go, and they're going to get their popsicles that are going to be outside. Okay, so you can go outside doors, parents, if you'd like to join them. If you would, blue team, go ahead and stand, and you guys can make your way to the outside there, and then green team will join you in just a second. So,
Blue team, go ahead and stand, and you guys can go ahead and make your way out the side door. Parents, you can go ahead and join them. Thank you so much for joining us this week at Incrediworld. Have a good evening.